a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, and what we do is we discuss local and national Native news and events all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Ooh, am I a little bit hot, Robert?
No, you sound good. I think you just sound like you have a little frog in your throat, you know.
I do a little, you know. It's that fall allergies really getting to me. It's not a lot of fun for me.
I mean, I've gotten allergies the older I've gotten, but they come and go. I haven't had any, knock on wood, in the last few years, but I can't imagine all you allergic people out there in radio land. Hey, so we only have a few days until election. What are we down to, 13?
Yeah, 13 days until the midterm elections, which is it seems crazy to me that time just flew by. And yeah, if you have not yet, everybody, you need to make a plan to vote. You need to go to makevotingatradition.org and make a plan to vote. Get involved with your relatives. Make sure they know who their candidates are and they're making informed decisions that line up with their values at the polls. That is going to be important this election for sure. There's a lot at stake this election, everything from reproductive and rights for women and
everybody.
Environmental rights, our land and water and air are at risk right now.
Hey, I'm excited too. I'm going to be going to Milwaukee Saturday and hanging out with Obama for a photo shoot. And hopefully I can just say, hey, can you tell your friend to free Leonard Peltier? It's been too long, but we'll see how that goes. Maybe they're just going to whisk us in and out of there for a, I don't know, should I have my hair up or down? I don't know. I have to, all these things I have to figure out on the drive out to Milwaukee, but excited to see, you know, he's coming in for Barnes and Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, and who's running for that lunatic who is originally from Minnesota, Ogama, Ron Johnson. So if we put tobacco out for our relatives in Wisconsin every day. So enough jibber jabber by me, Ogama. Hey, why don't you give us some updates on some news that you don't hear anywhere else? Welcome, Ogama, as always. That's not your last name, but welcome, Ogama.
Yes, bonjour, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have a little bit of news for us here today. I wanted to touch base because we have less than 2 weeks until the election. It's about 14 days until the 2022 midterm elections, and Native people really turned out to the polls, and Native people have been coming out nationwide at higher rates than ever seen before since 2020. And we're able to swing elections next door in Wisconsin as well as in Arizona. And now we have a lot of Native people on the ballots throughout the nation. I was looking at Indian Country Today, ICT's Native master list of candidates running for offices at the state level. And right now, Oklahoma has the most candidates. They have 18 candidates for House or Senate seats that are Indigenous and one in the governor's race. Montana's got 12 candidates. Hawaii and Alaska both have 10 candidates. And in Minnesota, there are 7 candidates for House or Senate seats. And they're coming from 6 districts. And then that is plus the lieutenant governor. So there's 8 total in Minnesota. And 7 different nations are represented, which is amazing. And that doesn't even include the local races. We have several people who are running for a school board, for a county commissioner, for city council, all over the state. So it's just been wonderful to follow these these candidates and the people that are helping them and our communities as they rally around them on Native Roots Radio presents Rock the Vote Native Style. It's been amazing. And I'm anxious about the upcoming elections, Robert. I don't know how you feel about them, but I'm afraid of how my heart would feel if Peggy Flanagan doesn't get reelected, or if Mary Kunesh loses her seat, or, you know, something like that. I think my heart would break.
Right. I think we're here in Minnesota, we're doing pretty good. I think last time I read, we're the lieutenant governor and Governor Walz are 10 points ahead of those lunatics, the anti-vaxxer, and also the the football player that I thought you had to be smart to go to Yale, but I guess not. The football player, Matt Burke, who played for the Vikings and went to Creighton up the street here. And you know, one of the things, too, I was going to mention, too, Ogama, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're going to try and go – or you are aware of this because you run everything here, but we're going to try and go after Native Roots Radio on election night and just keep going on Facebook Live and YouTube with coverage, and we'll see who we can get in. Last time we had the governor, and we had all these people come in before the election and remind everyone to vote. And then the tallies of the votes came in pretty quick, and we were out of there pretty quick. But who knows? I know Wisconsin is going to take forever because they take forever for them to vote in, you know, to count the votes in Milwaukee. They don't, you know, count the votes, the mail-in votes or the votes beforehand until 8 o'clock. And, you know, that's just ridiculous that you might not know what's going on in Wisconsin until 4 in the morning.
You know, I think that's a big part of where, you know, rallying around our communities and those kinds of things come in, because how are you going to get through from, you know, when the polls close at 8 p.m. until 4 in the morning on your own? You know, you need community around you to help calm you down and to, you know, help celebrate the wins and, you know, be there for you when the losses come through. I still remember staying up late with a girlfriend of mine for 2016 when Trump was elected.
Oh,
and
I said, oh geez, I knew you were gonna
and
say
I
that.
Went to bed people I did I went to bed at like 1:30, and I thought, or I don't know how late it was, I guess, but it was before the official results were in, and at the time there was more blue than red, and I was like, oh phew, it's fine, everything's gonna be fine. And I went to sleep, and my friend came and woke me up a few hours later, and she goes, Trump got elected. And I just remember my stomach hitting my feet. I was laying down in bed, but my stomach still just like fell to the floor. Like, I could not believe it. Like, my immediate thought was, how am I going to explain this to my daughter? My daughter was about 3 at the time.
Wow.
Going on 4. And I just was like, I couldn't, I'm still speechless thinking about it. You know, it was just, it blew me away that even happened. And that's something that I'm going to, you know, have to explain to my daughters when they're older, that I remember that happening. Now that we are moving forward and Native people have come out to the polls to make sure that we're getting representation for the issues, as we're sorely underrepresented in the nation, I'm really grateful for that. Speaking of the nation and tribal people, the White House has announced the date for the White House Tribal Nations Summit for 2022. It's going to be November 30th and December 1st at the Department of the Interior in Washington, D.C. The Biden-Harris administration says that they're deeply committed to honoring trust and treaty responsibilities for federally recognized tribes. And this summit is to provide an opportunity for tribal leaders to engage directly with officials in the highest level of the administration. Additional details are forthcoming, but you must register for the White House Tribal Nations Summit by Monday, November 14th, due to limited capacity. So Monday, November 14th is your deadline for the Tribal Nations Summit for 2022. And just as a quick note, Gary Farmer got an award at a film festival for acting. So wanted to touch base on that.
Ho-Chunk Nation will be there meeting with the president, and I'm trying to shake down the other 12 representatives and let me go there so I can say free Leonard Peltier. But they probably won't vote me in, but keep your fingers crossed. I want to see Biden during that. We have a chance to shake his hand. Do a photo op too in D.C. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Little Moments Count up next here on the Civic Media Network. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Metro State University empowers students to expand their knowledge and advance their careers through high-quality bachelor's and master's programs in high-demand fields. Looking to complete a four-year degree? Metro State has more than 60 undergraduate programs to choose from. Hoping to move into the next level of your career? Find out which of Metro State's 25-plus graduate programs is right for you. Visit metrostate.edu for upcoming info sessions and to apply. Spring registration is open now. Metro State University, where learning meets living.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count.
Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing can help create pathways that build a child's brain in this early stage of life. If you'd like more information and resources, you can go to littlemomentscount.org. And Robert, we're so glad to have Little Moments Count on our show today.
Absolutely. Hey, we have Fawn Youngbear Tibbetts, and we're really excited to have her. And she's currently the program director and Indigenous food coordinator in Minneapolis, Ojibwe and Dakota Language Immersion Early Childhood Center. And welcome, Fawn. And I wasn't able to pronounce the name of your school. Could you mind introducing yourself and telling us the name of your school, please?
Hi, Jewel will be joining us in a second. Can you hear me all right?
Hear you well. Can see
okay,
you too.
Great. So Buju Gitago Kuns Indigena Kaz Gash Gash Gwash Makagan Dunjaba Makwa and Duda. My name is Fawn Youngbear Tibbetts, and I was born in Leech Lake, but I'm enrolled in White Earth. And we our program is Wachowie Nandagi Kendin. So it's Dakota and Ojibwe, and it means they learn. Wachowie has been working since 2006. We're probably one of the first language immersion programs, one of the first urban language immersion programs. And we helped pass legislation in the state of Minnesota to get legacy funding for other programs. So we have been a leader in language immersion. We also have a teacher training program that we run, and we've produced over 50 language immersion teachers in the state of Minnesota. So I'm super happy to be here with you guys and talk a little bit about our program and what we all do with our students and some of the new opportunities we have coming up.
That's awesome. I just want to tell our audience, because we're all over the country here and we have a lot of white relatives listening to us, and just talk a little bit about how important our language is for us as Native people. Not just, you know, the obvious, you know, that we want to learn, but, you know, we could be, there could be no longer any Native people if we don't keep up with our language.
Yeah, and also culture, right? Language and culture aren't synonymous with each other, so that's also a really important part. Our program is seasonal curriculum, and so it's culture-based curriculum and language-based. So they learn the songs we plant when we're planting in the garden. They learn those songs, like, you know, they all sing the tobacco song. And it's really important because, you know, we're not very represented in our community here in Minneapolis. When you go around to other centers, every program has kind of their own school and their own building. And it's sometimes difficult for Native language revitalization. So one of the things that's really important, I think, that people really don't understand mm-hmm. is how endangered these languages really are, right? So there's a list, a national languages list, and it says 99% of Native languages are going to go extinct in the next 10 years. A Native language basically goes extinct every day. We only have one Dakota first speaker left in the state of Minnesota, and she's now older.
Yeah.
She's working in her home community teaching, you know, and so it's hard to explain the importance, right?
Yeah.
We are, when you teach a language, you're not just teaching the language, you're teaching the ethic that comes with that language.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching a thought process. You're teaching a way of looking at the world and a way of being in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just language, but language is really the key component with the culture and the other learning activities that we do. And it is a full immersion class. I don't know any other programs that are running a dual language immersion class. I know in Duluth, they have one. It's Spanish, English, and Ojibwe that they're running those three programs in the same building. But it's not necessarily...
Did you just lose us here? One of the things I'm curious, how young are these young ones that are in your program?
Sure. So are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Our students, it's an early childhood center. So we take infants to 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of our students end up going to Bedote, which is the K-8 Dakota mm-hmm. and Ojibwe language immersion program here. And so that when our kids go into kindergarten, they're considered advanced speakers of the language.
Wow.
So they can hold a conversation with you. This year right now, our oldest student, he's a return student and he's 4. And we just did rice parching and he was speaking in Ojibwe the whole time. And
wow. Four.
And so that's really important. A lot of the other thing is it's a lot of teaching to the families as well. A lot of our families don't have a speaker in the home.
Right.
And so part of that is, you know, helping the families learn with their child so that they can keep engaging in the language on a regular basis in the home. So we do a lot of extra projects. We do a food program. and that we're trying to incorporate indigenous foods into the breakfast, lunch, and snack, and then also back into the homes. So we bought Dream of Wild Health food chairs for all of our families this year. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of expensive, but also wild rice and bison we provide for them. So it's more, it's much more than just the language program too. It's all of it. You know, we're right. trying to hit them at home. We send home materials for families and parents. And then also for the, for community events and things like that too. So we've been doing a lot of feasts, and having, we've got a grant called the Linguistic Landscape. So if you drive through South Minneapolis and you see powwow grounds, you'll see the Ojibwe and the Dakota word for coffee, spray painted on the sidewalk. And so that was a program, you know, when you drive through Minneapolis, we have Somali immersion schools. We have a German immersion school. We have a Latin immersion school in Minneapolis. So when you go anywhere, you see everything in Hmong, you see it in Somali, you see it in Spanish, but we don't see it in Dakota and Ojibwe. And we're trying to change that, especially in the cultural corridor on Franklin Avenue.
Exactly. So we're going to take a break here in about a minute. One of the things that we've been talking about with partnering with a Little Moments Count is that how important it is for our young ones to learn young. And it really puts the brain in a whole different way. And I was talking about, I have a couple godchildren that speak Spanish and English, and took them a long time before they could process both languages when they were babies and started talking. But when they talked, they were fluent in both languages as a youngster could be. So just putting putting the brain together like that is just so important. And the work you're doing is so important, because the first few years of life is where we're going to be, where our young ones need to learn all these words and learn as many words and be read to in different languages and things like that. So it's very important work, and I appreciate you being on the show. I think we're going to take a quick break, Vaughn, and I see Jewel just showed up, so we'll have her on in the next break. We're here with, we're doing a partnership with Little Moments, and Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. Nearly 80% of the brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days. Small moments of interaction, like talking, playing, and reading and singing, help create pathways that build a child's brain during the early stage of life. So let's take a quick break here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we're here with Vaughn, and soon we'll be with Jewel, and we're going to talk a little more and get a little more deeper. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hi, this is Robert Pilot here telling you about Minnesota Native American art. Did you know that Twin Cities is known for Native art? Well, if you're not familiar, then check out All My Relations Arts. It's a program that seeks to increase the visibility and value of these incredibly talented American Indian artists in all forms of art while honoring the history and the presence of indigenous cultures. And right now, All My Relations Arts is showcasing Rosie Seamus Dance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. This is an immersive installation dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Performances will take place through mid-December. Find the performance schedule at allmyrelationsarts.com. I love all the indigenous art here in the Twin Cities, and I hope you can enjoy it too. allmyrelationsarts.com.
As we head towards colder weather, it's important to make sure you're up to date on vaccinations and protected from COVID-19. The Native American Community Clinic is now administering the updated Pfizer bivalent booster. The updated bivalent booster helps protect against the original COVID-19 strain and against newer Omicron variants. And it will help restore protection that has decreased since previous vaccinations. People age 5 and older are now recommended to get an updated bivalent booster dose at least 2 months after their last COVID-19 shot. That means the bivalent booster may be given after a person's primary series or after their last booster shot, regardless of what brand you received before. Even if you've already had COVID-19, you should get vaccinated. Right now, at the Native American Community Clinic, you can get COVID-19 vaccines, including updated boosters, at the same visit as other vaccines. However, if you've received a recent monkeypox vaccine, you may need to wait 4 weeks before you can get a COVID-19 vaccine, and you should discuss this with your provider. Schedule your vaccination appointment with the Native American Community Clinic by calling 612-872-8086.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 40, Thursday cloudy with a high near 55, and Friday sunny with a high around 60. Crooner's Supper Club has an exciting mix of shows on three stages to round out the fall season. Find the concert experience that's right for you at croonersmn.com. And before or after your show, check out the new Maggie's Lounge, a perfect spot to visit with friends. That's Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, you know, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count.
Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we're here with Fawn, a young bear, a Tibbetts, and we see Jewel. There's Jewel right there. We saw the ceiling there. Welcome, Jewel. Hey, how's it going?
Hi, I'm here. I made it.
Right on, right on. Hey, we're just talking a little bit about young ones and language, you know, and the good things that Fawn is doing and how long she's been doing it. It's pretty exciting to hear this work, Jewel.
It is. Wechoye's been here since 2006, working in language revitalization with both the Dakota and Ojibwe languages. And so we've one of the other things Wechoye has done is develop lots and lots of immersion teachers working in the immersion field here in the Twin Cities. But I know today we're talking about the development of children, and we what we can say about that for the kids who come through our program is they leave very culturally grounded. And that means they know a lot about culture protocols. They know how to smudge. They learn how to smudge and sing thank you songs, and they know how to put out tobacco. And Vaughn probably told you a little bit about the food sovereignty program that we have going, and really the goal is to reacquaint our children with indigenous foods from this food shed.
Yeah. Hey, I'm wondering, I want to ask Fawn, Jewel, I want to ask her what got her going on this? What got her excited to do this? Do you mind answering that, Fawn?
Sure. You know, I worked for the University of Wisconsin for probably 12 years teaching teachers. And I helped with a restoration curriculum. About 2 years ago, I saw this job posting and I said, that's the perfect job for me. That's my job. It's food, it's curriculum, it's language, it's kids. And so I made the jump. I had been kind of over in Bad River, made the jump over here to the cities. And it was kind of an easy transition for me. I had known Jewel. Our community is quite small. You know, the Native community is quite small. And so I had known Jewel for a long time. And Lisa Bellinger is on the board. So that's who had posted the job. And I was like, okay, that was written for me. And so, you know, Jewel has been working in this program for on and off probably the last 10 or 15 years in different capacities. And so, you know, this, without our founding mothers, that's what, you know, we call the founding women that brought this organization together. Without their vision, we none of us would be working here and doing what we're doing for the language now. They had a really bold vision. And so it's kind of our responsibility now to carry that on and move it forward.
You know, Jewel, can you talk a little deeper about the food sovereignty program? That's really interesting and excites me. Tell our listeners about that, if you don't mind.
Well, the food sovereignty program is really about directed towards the goal is when we get our own space that we will be able to serve breakfast, lunch, and snacks. And if we go all day, food from our food shed. So we might have, Fawn has really been instrumental in creating some of those menus. We've all done lots of research on what is indigenous food from this food shed. And we know that we have a vast variety here in Minnesota. From the berries to the fish to the, you know, the wildlife, the deer and the buffalo and the moose and the elk and duck. And we have lots of wild rice, our you know, three sisters. We have lots of variety here to be creative and really acquaint our children. And the goal is really some long-term benefits. We know that our community is, you know, we have huge statistics on obesity, diabetes, heart disease, all of those, you know, detrimental health issues. And if they start in early childhood many times. So if we can kind of target our early childhood, our families, and show them how to use, harvest, cook, grow these foods, we are hoping for some outcome, healthier lifestyle outcomes down the road. And that really is the initiative here. And we use our language when we are serving the kids our snacks or preparing foods or when we're engaging families. We like to use the language as a platform to engage our families.
Yeah, it's important. I was told as an adult trying to learn Ho-Chunk, Sacred Voice, is to learn one word a day and then don't ever use the English word again. So that's that's a hard task, and especially if you have a radio show, Jewel.
I bet. Well, the amazing thing is the kids really take to our foods, you know. I mean, once we can, if we can catch them at this early six, we get the kids in our program as young as 16 months. And we go up to 5 years of age. And so if the kids are consistently you know, being fed these foods in very creative and supportive and positive environments, they're likely to, you know, continue to eat these foods as they grow older. As we look at families, we look for food influencers within the family. We know that our little kids will do with the older kids. So if we can kind of target some of the teens or, you know, some of those food influencers inside the home, you know, the kids are too likely too to begin to eat our foods and really kind of creating that awareness with these young ones. I know I had my granddaughter in the program and she was always asking, is this healthy for me to eat? So really kind of creating awareness between foods that are healthy for you to eat and foods that are not, and really connecting that, you know, within the scope of language, you know, how we can be healthy by eating our own traditional foods.
Right. Exactly. Fawn, how have you been working with the food? Pretty much the same?
So I do I'm working on the menus. I handle the garden and then I produce all the foods, right? So I am the cook. Some of the things that we serve, we got a really nice smoker and a dehydrator. So we've been doing some bison pastrami and jerkies, elk, a lot of dried berries and fruits for the kids. We do feast bundles. So we, you know, with COVID, everything's gone virtual. So we're all pretty comfortable doing a Zoom type meeting. But that's hard when you're dealing with food. So we're doing some online recipes for them. Like, how do you make a salad? You know, we were giving out these food shares, and a lot of people didn't know how to use the vegetables. They didn't know what a kohlrabi was or how to use a turnip. And so a lot of it is educating families, too, on how to use the products we're giving them. I make a really phenomenal gluten-free vegan black bean brownie, and the kids love it. Okay, they love it. They have no clue that it's vegan and gluten-free. They just think it tastes like chocolate, you know? So really trying to strip down the dairy, you know, with Bedote, 85%, milk is the school's biggest waste.
Yeah.
You know, the food lunch providers, USDA, says you have to offer milk to your students. So what do you do when 85% of your students are lactose intolerant? Right. They say, oh, Celex is really rare, right? The gluten allergy. We have parents who have the allergy, and it's likely that their young ones have that allergy too. So we have to be extra careful about those products that we're serving to kids. And then also working with the food service provider. So the food service provider in Minneapolis provides lunches to 12,000 kids a day. How can we have them implement an indigenous diet? Because it's not just Native folks, it's West Africans, it's Asians that also are dealing because they don't have the mutant gene to be able to digest dairy, right?
Exactly.
And so doing a lot of that. And then when, you know, the kids come into the garden, I'm in there with them with their teachers. So we have 4 garden plots. We work a lot with Little Earth Farms and giving out seeds because I get a lot of seeds from friends. There's a large indigenous food sovereignty movement, especially in different reservations. So when we started, I just kind of wrote letters to everybody and said, hey, I need local seeds.
Wow.
And I got something like 400 seeds. And there's no way I could plant those seeds in my little bitty garden bed. So we took them to Theodore Worth, the Gatherings Cafe, Brian Yazzie. He took some of those seeds and grew them. The Children's Garden, Little Earth Farms, and then our garden as well.
Wow.
You know,
hey. Fawn, I just got just a statement I want to Ogama has a question. One of the statements I want to say when you were talking about milk and our kids, we're one of the few countries, meaning the United States, that gives milk from another mother or another kind of than anyone else. And, you know, the old white mustache thing, it's just a crock. And I think a lot of early health problems I had was I really loved milk and, you know, go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah, so bonjour, Anin. My name is Ogama Ganuakwe, and I just want to say that I really appreciate the work that you're doing to bring back the language revitalization, and a little bit jealous that it's not available up here in north central Minnesota, my neck of the woods. But maybe somebody said it already, but I'm curious, how many students do you have at your school? And I just want to get an idea for the level, because you're talking about educating their families too. So I wanted to get an idea of the scope of your work.
So I think right now we have 10 students in the Ojibwe program, and we are hiring a Dakota teacher. So if there are any Dakota teachers out there listening, we have a little bit of a hiring bonus that we could offer. But we take up to 15, I think, is the limit in the classroom right now with COVID. That's their kind of the program's limit per classroom.
Wow. Hey, I want to thank you guys for being on. Jewel, Fawn, this is really great information. And not only great information, but I just appreciate what you guys are doing for the community. This has been a great little show here. This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership of Little Moments Count. So, again, Pini Gigi, we got to have you guys back on real soon. Fawn.
I hope so. Yeah, we have some other great stuff happening. It would be awesome to come back and talk to you about it.
Anytime. Right on.
Okay. Thanks for having us. Pidama.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this short message. This is Native Roots Radio. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Metro State University empowers students to expand their knowledge and advance their careers through high-quality bachelor's and master's programs in high-demand fields. Looking to complete a four-year degree? Metro State has more than 60 undergraduate programs to choose from. Hoping to move into the next level of your career? Find out which of Metro State's 25-plus graduate programs is right for you. Visit metrostate.edu for upcoming info sessions and to apply. Spring registration is open now. Metro State University, where learning meets living. We are living in a critical time for Indian Country. Climate chaos threatens our land, water, and communities. Voting is one way we can protect our planet for future generations. Voting creates a collective power in the fight for our future. Have one-on-one conversations with your friends and family to make sure that they're making informed voting choices. Voting is our voice. This November, NATCE is asking us to stand together and make voting a tradition. Go to makevotingatradition.org to learn more and to make your pledge to vote.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Good one. Hey, wow, that was some serious information, and I don't know if you caught it at the end there, that I sounded like I had a little mini stroke, but I didn't. I just couldn't talk for a second. Partnering with this and let people know what's going on and getting support is where we're at here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we just are really excited to have these guys on a couple times a month just to talk about what they do and what they have been doing, Ogama.
Yeah, the Little Moments Count group has been wonderful in bringing us guests and interviews with people who are doing wonderful work in Native country and beyond to help educate our young ones and bring joy to their lives, really. I'm really impressed with this program and was a little sad to hear, you know, that they only have 10 students. But with COVID and, you know, all that social distancing, you got to make sure that everybody's safe. But the other thing I started thinking about as a parent of two young girls myself is that it would be a huge commitment for my family to send a child to a traditional language immersion program. We don't have any speakers in our home. So, I mean, kudos to those families that did send their children there and that are learning the language along with their children.
Well, and two, it sounds like the kids, after 18 months to 5 years old, go to schools like Bedote, where they're emerging school, where there's a lot more students. I know Bedote used to be on the board, has over 100 students, or almost 100, at their immersion school. And Bedote means where the water and where the two waters merge, right? And I think that's Ojibwe.
You know, I should know and I don't. So please forgive me, listeners and creator, for not knowing yet. But I don't know. If I had to guess, I think Bedote's Dakota,
yeah,
not
right.
Ojibwe. But,
okay. Now that I said that, you're right, because this is Lakota land here in Minnesota.
Yes, it is.
And so that makes total sense. And yep. In Wisconsin, that's Ho-Chunk land. I just wanted to throw that out there. Ho, wow. And we have quite a few living here.
Yeah, even our listeners know that's Dakota. I'm painfully Ojibwe, everybody. I don't speak Dakota very well. So every time I butcher something Dakota on air, I feel deeply sad. So many apologies for that. I just want to highlight too, because Wendy's not here doing the animal section today. Just as a reminder for everybody, February 7th of 2023 is going to be Wolf Day at the Minnesota State Capitol. So mark your calendar, start getting ready. The new year is only 10 weeks away. The election is only 13 days away. The holidays are coming up. Things are getting real, Robert.
Yeah, they really, really are. I'm about to sneeze, so I'm going to hit the sneeze button here.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the heads up there. You know, here in central Minnesota, we're, you know, preparing for winter. We're preparing for snow. And I have a little garden this year. We were talking with Fawn about gardening, and I have a little garden this year. And I was new to gardening this year. I've lived in an apartment for a very long time, so I didn't get a chance to really garden. And it brought me a lot of joy to have a garden this year and really kind of revive me for food sovereignty and for growing some of my family's own food. And
yeah.
Robert, I know you grow some traditional medicines in your garden, right?
Yeah, we do. We have sage in the back and some flat cedar, which Ho-Chunk pray with is flat cedar. It's kind of gotten pan-Indian, where everyone's doing sage, but different tribes aren't. They're not all the same, right, Ogama? We're all similar, but we don't do things the same. We do smudge off, and we smudge off with flat cedar is our Ho-Chunk way.
You know, my partner is from a tribe in North Dakota and grew up west of here and is used to prairie sage, which has a different scent and a different feel than the sage that grows here in Minnesota. And sometimes I'll burn my sage and he'll be like, ugh, I don't like that. he wants the other stuff. So it's interesting that, again, there is so many differences, even among the same medicines, that there can be differences that people notice.
Yeah, you know, like Kathleen just said here, you know, don't forget Indigenous clothes are not costumes on Monday this week. That's a great thing to bring up.
Thank you, Kathleen McGwitch, because we're not a costume. So if anybody's thinking about trying to honor Native people by dressing up as anything Native, don't. Just do not. It's not a cult. It's not a costume. It's a culture, and it's different.
That's great to bring up because I know especially now, nobody should be doing that. But like every once in a while, I'll look on Facebook or some marketplace and look up some native stuff, see if I could snatch some nice native stuff from somebody. And the costume pops up, you know, and it's just like, oh, God, when is this going to end?
You know, what I have been enjoying, though, is some Native people have been taking it back online with Internet memes of Native costumes, poking fun at each other. Like, there's a Native uncle costume. And I seen Tara Hauska, the activist, posted that somebody made one of her, and it really just cracked me up.
She posted it, that somebody made that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it really using humor to highlight the problem with those costumes is really important, because I think anybody, if somebody were to make a costume like that of you and you weren't aware of it, I think you would probably find it, you know, a little bit offensive that somebody just took a few things about you and threw them into a costume, and generally not flattering things about you necessarily all the time either. So that's how it feels when you walk into a costume shop or your local Walmart or, you know, wherever you're shopping for your Halloween costumes with your family and your children. And, you know, you're met with those types of costumes. It's painful. It's hurtful to the soul. So please don't do that.
Well, you know, I'm reading an old post from 2019 from Joe Kroshu, and he says, tell natives that they can't be native for 500 years and no one bats an eye. Tell white people they can't be native for Halloween and everyone loses their mind. That's basically what we deal with.
I know. It's truly, that's how exactly it was. And, you know, during the age of Westerns, in the movies, it wasn't okay to be Native American. Actual Native children, were being abused in many boarding schools across the whole of Turtle Island. Meanwhile, Hollywood was portraying us as awful and evil using non-Indigenous actors. And we've come a long way since then. But it's still, you know, not all the way there, I guess.
Right, exactly. Hey, you know, if you see wolf commercials, they're mean and bad. I mean, there's all these subliminal things that that we see in the press. And so, again, Kathleen, thanks for bringing that up. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, vote, vote like your life depends on it. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Release Leonard Peltier now. Free Leonard Peltier now.